מי שאין לו אמונה חייו אינם חיים. You cannot call it life. If you don't have faith, you cannot call it life. It's hell. So, בעזרת השם, we're going to start Torah Lamed Zayin 37, Likutei Moharan, still part Dalet, almost in the end of part Dalet, Holy Heir of Eretz Yisrael. וזה שאמרו חכמנו זיכרונם לברכה, and on that, our rabbis, holy rabbis, spoken the Gemara, Ta'anit Yud Aleph, היושב בתענית נקרא חסיד, a man that fasts, he is called a chasid, שנאמר, the divine said, גומל נפשו איש חסד. You make a favor with your soul, you're a kind person to fast one day, to let your body rest, to let your spirit grow a little bit and expand. When you, after the fast, after you don't eat for a few hours, you feel light, you feel sober, not with all of those smokes that are filtering the thoughts of the person that comes up from eating not in an appropriate way. Gases. וזה שאמרו חכמנו, this is what we said, כי התענית הוא גמילות חסדים לנפשו, because when you fast, it's ממש chariot, it's kindness that you do with yourself, with your spirit. היינו לתורה, means to your Torah, to the Torah that you have inside. כמו שכתוב, like that it's written, תורת השם תמימה, the Torah of Hashem is innocent, it's complete, משיבת נפש, brings back the soul, the spirit. בגלל כן, because of that, נקרא איש חסיד. That person, he is a kind person, he is a חסיד. כי מבטל הדין והחושך, because he's canceling the judgments and the darkness, הוא ממשיך חסדים בעולם, and he brings down kindness to the world. וזה פירוש, and that's the explanation of what it's written, שלושה הזהרות, three warnings, שהזהיר רבי יהודה בן בטרה מן ציבין. That רבי יהודה בן בטרה מן ציבין warned us, warn all of Am Yisrael, all of the students. היזהרו בזקן ששכח תלמודו. Be careful to respect an old תלמיד חכם that forgot his לימוד. Even if he forgot what that he learned, still you need to respect him. מחמת עונסו. If he lost it because of his age, because of the journeys that he had in life, difficulties of life, so he forgot what that he learned. So be careful. Keep on respecting him. ויזהרו בברית דין כרבי יהודה, and you need to be careful in the halakha of how to slaughter, how to kill the animal, and to make the shechita completely, with to cut the veins completely, like the way of Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda said, the opinion in the Mishnah. ויזהרו, and be careful, בבני עמי הארץ, from the sons of the common people, שמהם תצא תורה, because from them, the Torah gonna come out from. Now you understand what's going on here? This is it, this is the answer. You need to have three things, that we spoke about all of those three in the last few days. First of all, you need to respect the Talmid HaChachamim, the old people. You have to have Hakarat HaTov, to recognize the good, to remember where I got it all from. I got it from my Rabbi, and my Rabbi from his Rabbi. This is what it means to respect the elder people. To respect them. You see that they have something. Even if people are not Talmid HaChachamim, you look at them, it's a different generation. You see different in the attributes, in the Midot. You see they have things, certain stability, certain dignity, honor, respect, things that they have, kindness, things that they have. I remember after that my grandfather passed away, so in the 7 days of Shiva came a certain friend of him to my grandmother's house, and he said, I want to tell a story about Maurice, about on my grandfather, and he said that my grandfather, he was a hotel manager, and he said that one time one of he wasn't religious, of course, one of their friends fell very bad in business. He was also a manager of a hotel, and he fell from business in a horrible way and came to a very, very stressful situation financially. So he came to my grandfather and told him about it, that their friend lost a lot of money now and is in stress. And he said, he told me, look, are you still in the neighborhood? Come back later. And they said for 3 o'clock or something like that, the second meeting. And he came with 30,000 shekels. My grandfather came. Something like $10,000. And in those days, for sure, it was more than that. We're talking about something like 30 years ago. It was for sure something big. And he said that was him. No one knew. No one heard about it. And he would never go and tell. And you see, they have things inside of them that they're doing it not for honor, not doing it not for respect, just because. And he told him, if you need something else, let me know. He gave him that money and told him, and if you need something else, let me know, call me. Let's be in touch about him. Let's see what else we can do. I'm going to tell another story on my grandfather. What do I care? He was the first ambassador of Israel in Egypt, in Mitzrayim. And after they made that fake peace, so he was the first ambassador over there. And a few days ago, I spoke with a certain person, an accountant, and Roe Cheshbon. And he told me, I know a lot of people named Kastuto. Which Kastuto are you? So I told him the family that were running the hotels and what one. So he said, oh, I know you. I owe your family a big favor. I told him why. He said, because of your grandfather. I told him, what's the story? Interesting. He said that he just came for a visit in Egypt, and my grandfather, he received from the Shagrirut, what is that? Embassy, he received a green BMW, a green huge new BMW, and he was driving in that BMW. That BMW finished her life in the Dead Sea. There was a water flood over there, and it stuck, and in the next day they came to take it, and it was in the middle of the Dead Sea over there, floating somewhere. This is the end of that BMW. So he said that he met him over there, and he asked him a few questions over there in Egypt while he was visiting over there. And my grandfather told him, here, take my driver, take my car. And he just lent him the car, gave him the car for free for a whole day just to go and to... You see kindness that people are doing for... He said, I remember your grandfather so much that just for that you give someone your car and your driver and everything to go and to... This is kindness that you see. This is... Be careful to respect people. It's not only Zaken Sheshachach Talmudo, because you don't know who is standing in front of you. You don't know. You know who you're talking to. You don't know who is he. You know who is he. And Shaul HaMelech was looking to find David HaMelech, and he was a prophet, and his name was Shaul HaChoze. Shaul, the one that can see. That was his name, Shaul HaChoze. The prophet, Shaul. He was compared to Moshe and Aaron. Both Shmuel HaNavi, Shmuel HaNavi. And he himself saw David HaMelech, and he couldn't see nothing special in it. He's looking at him. Nothing, it's not him. Next one. And he was trying to crown each and every one of the brothers of David HaMelech until there were no brothers anymore. He knew that he's from the seed of Ishai. And everyone went, and he brought the keren of the oil, the shofar with the oil, and the oil was running back. He was avoiding them. He didn't want it. He was struggling to stay inside that keren shofar. No! I think I heard it from Rav Shalom, but I'm not sure, that when Moshe came to put on, maybe I told you that Moshe, when he came to put the Shemen HaMishcha on Aaron HaKohen, so Aaron HaKohen told him, hey, stop, what are you doing? So he told him, what's happened? So he told him, what? There is a punishment of karet on it. If you put the Shemen HaMishcha, the oil of the Shemen HaMishcha on someone that is not worthy, that is not supposed to be a Kohen Gadol, so it's a, you've been punishing karet. So you see that Aaron HaKohen, he was, stop, what are you doing? You want us to be obligated in karet? You want us to be punished? Crazy, you bring this oil on me, whatever. What have I done to you? You want to punish me like that? He's so humble. So the oil, he was refusing to come down on all of the brothers, and in David HaMelech, he couldn't recognize him. Shmuel HaNavi couldn't recognize David HaMelech. He was such a hidden tzaddik. And you can never tell. And he doesn't have to be a hidden tzaddik. It can be that that guy got something in it that is so important, that is keeping something so secret. There was a story that Eliyahu HaNavi came to a righteous man, the Gemara, it's been told, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a certain reward and sent Eliyahu HaNavi to send that message, to tell that message to that tzaddik, righteous man, that you're going to receive something. So he came, Eliyahu HaNavi came to him and told him, I'll hand it to you, but first tell me, what have you done? Why HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me to you? So I told him, I'm sorry, I'm not telling. So Eliyahu HaNavi here, let's talk, what's the problem? He told him, no, I'm sorry. He said, I'm not going to give you what Hashem told me to give. I'm not giving. If you're not telling me, I'm not going to sell. I'd rather. I don't know. And what he done? Probably he done something, kindness. He gives to charity, some tzedakah. He helped someone. He was saving someone weak. I don't know, he was handing food to someone. He was doing something good. But he was hiding it. So you can never tell with who you talk to. You don't know who is it. You don't know. So this is respect. Second, is Aru Bevridin ki Rabbi Yehuda. To be careful, to make the shechita properly. That the animal will never gonna feel no sorrow. That she will lose all of her atzabim, senses. That she will, what?
Nerves.
This is the way of shechita. It's after all of the wars that they're making against Jews and how they're slaughtering the animals, this is the most gentle and sensitive way to kill an animal, more than all of the horrifying ways that the nations are doing it, in electricity and in gas and in smoke, and like that they've done to us. This is the shita. This is it. It works. The most quietest way, this is the best way. But it's not true. There is a way that the animal is not suffering, not that people cannot hear. The people cannot hear, it's not the most important thing. Most important thing that the animal is not going to feel no sorrow. The animal is not going to feel no sorrow. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he told us how. So, Baruch Hashem. This is the to care about even an animal. Even an animal. For that you need to have a heart. And also, what did we see here that is teaching us, telling us on each and every one of us, like that we said before, you need to be careful to respect everyone, even people that are not old, even simple people, even Baalei Teshuva. You know how many people suffered for years and they came to apologize to Rav Shalom to tell him, we haven't read your books because you're a Baalei Teshuva. And for us, it sounds funny because we say, you lost so much, really because he's a Baalei Teshuva, but the answer is yes. Even the friends of Rabbi Akiva couldn't accept from him because Rabbi Akiva was a Baal Teshuva. The reason that they could not accept from Rabbi Akiva warned them before they went up to the Pardes. He warned them. He told them, listen, Antom Ru, my, you need to. There's a lot of preparations. And you see that by that, the fact that he could tell them, it means that he knew stuff that they didn't know. And they were FFB, they were holy from birth. And they cannot accept from a Baal Teshuva. But by that you lose. What you lose? You lose the connection with Hashem. Why? Because Hashem is telling Israel, is telling the world, my thoughts are different than yours. I'm not thinking like you. Hashem got a sense of humor. Hashem is funny. Hashem is doing things not according to our logic. Not how that we plan that it's going to be, that we assume, that the king of Am Israel gonna be this. I don't know what's gonna be. Hashem gonna make something. Rabbeinu said Mashiach gonna come b'sach adat. People will not gonna notice that Mashiach is here. And suddenly they're gonna say, hey, he's already here for a long time. We couldn't see that it's him. Mashiach is gonna do everything, and people will not gonna understand. He's already there. Mashiach is here. It can be that Mashiach is sitting and learning here in this class. And you don't know. You can never know. Can you know that someone here is not Mashiach? Can you know it for sure? Except of me, that I'm a famous liar. Mashiach is a person that never lied in his life. After I testified myself that I can be a worse liar than the Prime Minister, so Rosh HaMemshala. So it's not me. Oh, Hashem. So there are students that can learn in this wonderful yeshiva for years, on years, on years, and it's embarrassing to say that they're not progressing in life. They're learning more information, they're downloading a lot of classes into their software. Baruch Hashem, they have hundreds of classes from Rav Shalom, and they can also remember. But when they have a certain situation in their life, they're not functioning out of that knowledge. They don't have it. Why they don't have it? Because they lack of one thing that brings the second thing that brings the result. The one thing is the will that brings prayers that bring you to the result that you want. Hashem is so mercy, and Hashem wants to give. And there is no reason that you will not going to receive from Hashem Yitbarach except of one that is going to damage you. And you have to prepare yourself. How are you going to prepare yourself? You need to want. The will creates the power of gravitation. It pulls. You want something until you take it. If I want it now to be in the air, so I need to hold it like that. And in the moment that I will not going to want it to be here anymore, I will put it down. The fact that it was here depends on my will. If you want something, you have to want it. And if you don't want it, you don't have it. And even if you want something big, you just need to want it, and to want it, and to want it, until you're going to have it. Until you're going to have it. Unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks you, like he asked for Moshe Rabbeinu. He told him, be quiet. Don't talk no more. But if Moshe Rabbeinu would not listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chas V'Shalom, and he would pray another one prayer, he would receive it. Because this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, be quiet. From that you learn that there is nothing that you cannot achieve. And for sure that if Hashem is going to tell you, listen, stop, you're going to stop. And you're going to do it with a smile on your face. Because it was Hashem, you saw Hashem. You don't have a problem. After you know that it's the will of Hashem, you don't have a problem anymore. The only problem that you have is when you're not sure. If you know that Hashem wants you now to be with your Chas Shalom, Chas Shalom. If a person now knows that Hashem wants him to be with his wife in hospital, he doesn't think about Bitul Torah. He sees in his eyes that his wife, she needs him, and he doesn't have no doubts about it, because Chas V'Shalom, it's a critical situation. He doesn't question about the fact that he's cancelling Torah now. We're going to be stupid to think about it. Now she needs you. She's in labor, she's screaming, she needs help. You don't have doubts on it. You don't have a problem with it. You know for sure. When you have doubts, when she said, I don't feel so good, maybe you can stay home. And then you don't know. Maybe she can manage. Maybe I should go to learn. What's more important now? To respect her, to learn Torah. And then your opinions, they are divided. And this is the peak of suffering. When you don't know what to choose, this is the worst. It's written in Likutei Moharan. This is the biggest suffering of them all, that you don't know the advice, that you have Chalukat HaEtzah, that the advice is divided to two. You have two options. Women are suffering from it the most, and females like us are suffering from it also, but not as much as women. So you need to become to be a man. And when you become to be a man, that you're holy, that you're Kadosh, so you know exactly always what's the right answer. The sea was divided to two. This is Kriyat Yam Suf, and this is Mimtzulot Yam Otzieni, that we're asking, save me from the depths of the sea. So you need a Kadosh Baruch Hu to make a path for you in the depths. And when a Kadosh Baruch Hu is creating,
that pass so you can walk on dry land in the middle of the sea, and the water are not watering you. Everything is cool for you. In the depths, you can stand there. You can pick fruits if you want. It's no problem over there. In the depths, they were walking in the depths, but it wasn't damaging them. The water couldn't damage them. Huge amounts of water. This is what Rabbi Akiva is saying to his friends. Al tomru mayim. Don't say water, water. It's not water. It's all Hashem. Those are walls that made out of pure shayish. I say shayish.
Marble.
So, you see that when you work on Kedusha, and this is the Kedusha, it's like it's written, Kashe zivugo shel adam kekriyat yam suf, that it's hard to be holy, to mate in holiness. It's hard like tearing yam suf. So, and we know that Yam Suf been opened by the merit of Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef, that he was righteous, that he is the foundation, that he is holy. And in the hand of Moshe, that he was separated from his wife, that he was Parush. That he was the only one that was Parush in that level of Prishut. That the Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling him, and you stand with me. All of Am Yisrael go back to their tents, go back to their families, and you stand here with me. Moshe Rabbeinu was totally clean, was totally separated from his wife, nothing. No lust, no desire, no connection to this world. He can open the Yam Suf into two parts. And the Am Yisrael, in his power, in the power of Yosef HaTzadik, they have the power to go through the water. And also, another one person that we know that the sea has been opened because of his merit, it's Nachshon Ben Aminadav. And Nachshon Ben Aminadav, this is the third type of a person. It's a Baal Tshuva person. Because this is someone that is outside with the common people, between all of the opinions and everyone, and no one heard about him, and no one knows nothing about him, and suddenly he takes a decision, and he jumped to the water. And that Nachshon Ben Aminadav can be each and every one of us. Nachshon Ben Aminadav wasn't the leader of Am Yisrael, he wasn't Yosef HaTzadik, the son, the special son of Yaakov. He was nothing. We don't know who he was. He was special in what? In who that he was. In that, you can be special also, to be who that you are. And if you're going to be that, then you're going to count on yourself, you're going to believe in yourself. And for sure, a lot of crazy people went with their crazy ideas and ruined the world. So it's not that really you're allowed to do whatever you like. It's not what we're saying. You need to believe in yourself that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts your prayers. And then you need to go drag yourself, all of your package, all of who that you are, and to put it in front of Hashem. And to tell Hashem, let's take care of it, let's see what's going on with me, who am I? And to start working on fixing yourself. This is what it means that you believe in yourself, that you believe that you also have hope. That you believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you enough that He can come down to your place and to fix you. To fix you, to make you righteous, to make you holy, to make you pure, that you're going to be totally straight and totally generous and totally honest and totally good and kind and beautiful, and only beauty going to come out from you. Hashem can make it happen, and Hashem loves you enough for that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to the angels, "Halechinam nikreti chanun v'rachum." You think that for no reason I've been called Rachum Bechanun. How do you say Rachum Bechanun? Mercy, compassion, and mercy.
Graciousness.
What?
Graciousness.
Graciousness
and mercy.
You got it, all of you? I know Rachum Bechanun. I understand Rachum Bechanun. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking, you think with no reason I've been called like that? What it means with no reason? You think I will not going to surprise you with my merciness? You think I will not going to surprise you? People that have no hope, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming down and taking care of them and helping them and communicating with them in the language that they understand. And Rabbeinu is saying in Likutei Moharan that you cannot achieve divine spirit, Ruach HaKodesh, to fix the Lashon HaKodesh in a complete way until you translate it to another language. Means explain it. Explain it to someone else until you take it from the level that you have it and hand it to someone lower than you. Until you're not doing that, you haven't completed Lashon HaKodesh. You're not able to hear the voice of Hashem. You cannot understand what Hashem is doing with you. without distribution, the secret of distribution, it's kindness. That you care, that you see people needs you, and you go to help, and you just care about them. This is the secret of the Kedusha, of holiness. Because a holy man is not someone that is separated from his wife. This is the definition of Kedusha, is that הוא מזריע למקום הנכון, that he is with his wife, meeting with his wife in the right way, in Kedusha, with no lust, with no desires, with no bad thoughts, with no filthy thoughts. He's clean and he's keeping the mitzvah like that the Torah is commanding him to keep the mitzvah. A very important mitzvah, a very holy mitzvah. This is why there is such filth, yetzer hara, and cover that mitzvah. Because it's a mitzvah that brings life to the world. It's a mitzvah that there is no mitzvah that you can compare that mitzvah to it. And people took it and ruined it. And took it out. And destroyed it. And everyone that it's destroyed inside of him, he can feel that he doesn't have no connection to the Kedusha. In the time of test, he's going to find himself act like an animal. And not that, not especially in the test of that mitzvah. Of that uncertain lust, he can find himself that he's a joker, that he's talking lashon hara, that he's got lust for money, desire for money, that he's angry, that something stupid. He's gonna find himself acting stupid. Why? Because of that. Because you're not pure in your heart. No, if you don't have a heart because you have that lust for women. When you have lust for women, means you gave your heart to someone else, to a foreign woman. And every woman, she's a foreign woman. Even your wife, she's foreign if you gave her your heart. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, Nu libchem elai, give me your heart. You need to give your heart to Hashem. When it's written in Likutei Moharan that a person that is arrogant, he is failing in Eshet Ish, in a wife of his friend, Rav Berlan told Rav Shalom that the wife of his friend, it's his own wife. Means if you find yourself that you have lust to your wife, it means you're arrogant. Hashem said to you, this is the rebuke. Hashem is telling you, you were arrogant? Alright, fall. Go to the sewer, to the mess, to all of that filth. Go. You're arrogant? Go. Look where you're holding. You have lust, you have desires. You desire to be with your wife, with your kosher wife. And you have imaginations and you're divided from the Torah. You have no connection to the prayers, to the tefillah. You cannot. When you have lust, when you have desires, you cannot pray. You cannot learn. You're distracted. Your mind is not clean. You're not glued to Hashem in the tefillah. This is why the first letters of the prayer, Hashem, Sefatai, Tiftach, it's written with Aleph, the name of Hashem. It's written Adni with an Aleph. Hashem, Sefatai, Tiftach. It's the letters of the word Eshet, your wife. It's or your wife or the tefillah. You need to choose. All that you have lust for women, all that you have lust for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you want only Him, only Him. And it's a war. But when you win, when you conquered in that war, every small thing that you achieve, you feel the change inside of you. You feel that you're not the same person that you were before. And everyone can feel it. And it depends in Yagata, in the effort. How much effort you put. How many hours you pray on it. How much you're working on guarding your eyes. And even in your house. How much you're working on remembering Hashem Yidbarach. Even when you're in bed. Even when you're eating. Even when you're drinking. Even when you're tired. Not to distract your thoughts from Hashem. Rav Shalom gave that amazing explanation on the time that you're tired, that you want to sleep, and suddenly you remember that you forgot to say Kriyat Shema on the bed, or that you forgot to pray Maariv, or that you forgot to do something that you have to do, that you know that you're obligated to do. Rav Shalom said, you can be ayef ve'yagea, you can be tired and weak, but don't be a no yirei Elokim, without fear from heaven. Don't be without fear from heaven. You have to hold the Yirat Shamayim, fear from heaven, even when you're tired. Means that if you're able to pray, so pray. And even if you're not able to pray, you need to do tshuva on it and to go to sleep with tshuva, with regret, with the will to pray. Fall asleep. But tell Hashem, Ibn Hashanah, I want to pray. I don't have the power to stand up from bed. Really, you're dead tired. You came out of a long, long ride in the middle of the night, and you're dead tired. Mamash, you're a disaster. You crashed to bed, and now you remember. Don't kick Hashem. Don't say, I don't have power to that Ma'ariv now. I don't have power for Kriyat Shema on the bed. Why? Why to drop Hashem? Don't drop him. Take him with you to sleep. Go to sleep with Hashem. Say to Hashem, I want to pray. I don't have the powers. I remember myself once, I started to say Ma'ariv just like that, and I fell asleep during saying Ma'ariv. I said the brachot. I was lying on bed, and there was no option that I'm going to go out from bed, not even crawl out of bed. I didn't have the power. I knew myself, I was dead, I was beaten, I didn't have no power at all. And immediately, I wasn't even saying it kashrut. I wasn't even saying Areni Mekasher et Atzmi. I just said, Baruch Ata Hashem, because I wanted to pray. I said, Baruch, I was fighting back against tiredness. And it didn't give me the power to complete the prayer. It's not an heroic story, and then I was standing Shmona Esrei, and no, I fell asleep. I don't remember if before of Shema or after. I don't know, in the middle probably. But I immediately said, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melecha. And this is how I went to sleep. I fell asleep. To go to sleep. What are you running from? Where you want? You want to hide from Hashem? No, Hashem, it was enough. That day was enough for me. Now I'm going to sleep. You run away from Hashem. So how you want to wake up? You want to wake up with Hashem, right? If you went away from Hashem in the night, how are you going to wake up with Him? You need to go to sleep with Him, and you're going to wake up with Him. In the way that you go to sleep, this is the way that you wake up. When you check yourself, you know that you're not sleeping at all. You just close your eyes and then you wake up. Nothing happens in that time. People can tell you stories. Oh, you weren't waking up. The kids are making a mess in the house, and they were all calling me and disturbing him. She's lying. Never happened. I was asleep. You know, she's lying on those things. Why she's doing it? You're asleep. The truth is that nothing happened. For you, nothing happened. Just closed your eyes and then you opened your eyes. There was no time for you. Really, for you, there was no time. You were not sleeping for 8 hours, for 6 hours, for 3 hours. You were not. The truth is that in the moment that you close your eyes, this is the moment that you open your eyes. You have a certain feeling now that explains, you interpret your feeling as, I slept enough, I wasn't sleeping enough, I was the mattress was comfortable for me, I was on the couch, I was on the chair, whatever. But the truth is that in the moment that you close your eyes, this is the moment that you opened your eyes back. It depends now how much light Hashem gave you back, how much neshama Hashem gave back into your body when you woke up. And that depends on how you went to sleep. If you ran away from Hashem Yitzbarach, you wake up dead tired in the morning. You don't have no powers. The source of power, the source of life, it's Hashem Yitzbarach Himself. You want to live eternal life, you need to live with Hashem. You need to throw yourself on Hashem, always, always. I don't know how to tell you that, and I feel that I don't know, Mamash, I want to explain to you something very important on the concept of this class. This class is coming to teach you to believe in yourself. This is why I'm here. I'm not here to teach you information. I don't care about information, really. I'm so ignorant that I'm not sitting and learning hours and hours and purchasing information and coming and passing knowledge. And I'm just sharing from my experience of life that I'm struggling, I'm fighting, and I am fighting for faith. And I'm risking my life for it. I'm doing wild things for it. And it works. It's not that it's not working. It works. When you put all of your confidence on Hashem Yitzbarach, Hashem is there. Hashem is never going to disappoint you. This is the basic. This is the foundation of faith. That you believe that Hashem is there. So I'm teaching you. I'm actually coming to tell you, you know, guys, today I threw myself from a building and I've been saved. And the next day I was jumping in front of a driving car and nothing happened. This is the definition of this class. You have a crazy rabbi that commits suicide on a daily basis, and it works, and he's alive. Some James Bond version, Jewish Bond, Jewish James. Something like that. This is what it goes on here. This is what it goes on here. Really. Bottom line. Yes, I did remember now a scene from James Bond movie. That can... he found himself once stuck. He was driving a bike in an alley in Chinatown.
and they were driving after him, and all of the alley was closed, and he couldn't go, and there was someone behind him on the bike, and that person tell him there is no way out. So he told him, there is always a way out, just you need to find it. That's an answer of James Bond. This is an answer of a believer. It's a real answer of someone that knows the truth. There is always a solution. Hashem is with me. Is there a way that Hashem is going to drop me? Av ki po lo yutal. Even if you're going to fail, you will not going to crash. Hashem puts His hand under you. You don't know. You see yourself, mamash, running, driving. There is a brick wall in front of you. And you see yourself. You don't know. There is an angel over there that is standing with pillows and with his soft hands. And you will not going to crash. You don't see that angel. Hashem is there. Ani Hashem Elokim. Me, and not an angel, Hashem, Elohim, and not Malach, and not an angel, Velo Sarab, going down to Egypt to save each and every one of us. And if you believe that Hashem Yitbarach got all of the powers, so everyone got all of the powers. And you need to know that. When you go to pray, you're going to the source of everything. Source of good, source of power, source of life, source of wealth, of Ashirut, of Dusha, of wisdom, of everything you need. So just go for it. Go for it. I don't know in how many sounds I can scream. Go for it. Believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. Go. You're afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to give from what that is shaking your stability. Someone for him it's hard to give money. Someone else for him it's hard to give trust. Someone else for him, it's hard to open his mouth and to confess and to start talking. Someone else, it's hard for him to believe that he can be a Talmid Chacham, and he's afraid to come to the yeshiva to sit and to learn and to open books because he's afraid. One, he wants to convert and he's afraid. What people are going to tell him? I spoke yesterday with a friend of mine from Colombia, and he tells me, I need to prepare myself. I need to learn more halachot. He wants to convert. He wants to come. His family is ready. They want to come. And he's preparing. And preparing. And preparing. He told me, look, I don't know halachot. I told him, no, so what? What's the problem to come and to ask? Why you need to prepare yourself? He's afraid to come. He's afraid to make that move. He's afraid to feel different. He's afraid that people are going to say to him, you cannot convert. You cannot. We're not letting you. What do you care? So they're not going to let you. So what? So stay where you are. But be with us. Be in Eretz Israel. We're not pushing no one out. We're here. Come be with us. We're together. So you're not Jewish. So what? So we're going to reject you? You cannot marry my children. It's halacha. You're not allowed. Your children are not allowed to marry my children. This is it. Well, the wine, we have a problem with wine also. So what? It's not a problem. So you're going to drink from your bottle, and I'm going to drink from my bottle, and this is it, and everything is perfect. You want to eat kosher also, I want to eat kosher. He lives a religious life. A person that wants to convert, he wants to commit himself to Judaism. It's not a problem to be with him, to spend time with him, to love him, to care. What's the difference? Is there a difference? You can put your finger on a difference? Tell me that you can put your finger on a difference. The mikveh is the difference. After the mikveh, there is a change. You can feel it. Ask the ones that convert. If they felt a certain change after the mikveh, they didn't. They just felt a huge, gigantic yetzer hara that added into their life. This is what. Suddenly they had a crazy, wild yetzer hara that they never knew before. It's going to be such a woe that they couldn't realize. It's going to be so hard that they couldn't realize. This is it. To become to be Jewish. Suffering. We're warning. Everyone that wants to convert, we're obligated to warn them. Hey, why you want that? Why you need all of those troubles? You know, Am Israel been chased for years and been executed. And this is halacha that we have to warn them. Why you have such seven pleasant mitzvot obligations? You can keep them. You're gonna have a share for the world to come. Why you need 613? And on top of that, all of those dikdukim of the rabbanan, thousands and thousands of halachot and obligations that even a Jew, an FFB, he's not aware to all of them, and it's so hard to be careful in all of those halachot, all of those dikdukim. So why to bother? But if he wants, welcome. No problem. Welcome. And you should know. Even if you think for yourself, I'm talking about people that afraid.
It's in every situation. If you think that that obstacle is your problem, that is your problem. That you give power to the obstacle itself. Instead of believe that and see that it's all Hashem. Hashem is stopping you. Hashem is rejecting you. Hashem is telling you, you cannot convert. You will not going to be... Hashem is telling you. And you need to win. You need to argue with Hashem Yitzbarach until HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to surrender to you. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to say, Nitzchuni Banai, Nitzchuni Banai. My children, they won. They're right. Zamru Lemishem Natzchin Oto V'Sameach. You need to praise the one that when you win him, when you conquered him, he's happy. Hashem is stopping us like a father that stops his children. He's strict, showing angry face, saying no. He's playing a certain game with us. He's saying no, you're not going to do tshuva. You're going to fail. You see, you need to tell him, I will never going to leave you. I will never going to back off. I will always going to push forward. I will always continue. I don't mind. Even if you're going to give me proofs that I'm not worthy. That every Jew lives that life. And for sure, everyone that wants to convert and everyone that wants to live life of holiness, of Kedusha, he lives that. That he feels that Hashem Yitzbarach is rejecting him and that Hashem Yitzbarach is not opening. And you need to fight. Like you're going to fight for $1 million, like you're going to fight for your shidduch, for your mate, like you're going to fight for your house, like you're going to fight for your life. If this is life for you, to be connected to source of life, to life itself, to Hashem himself, you're going to fight. And you're going to fight for 120 years, like Moshe Rabbeinu was fighting until the last moment to enter to Eretz Israel. You should fight. On every point that you realize that it's real, that it's truth, you're going to fight. Never to lie to no one. You found yourself lying, go apologize. Go confess. Go do tshuva. The son of Rav David Chaim Stern told me that they saw the father, Rabbi David Chaim Stern, that he was crying for 7 and 8 hours. Tears on the fact that he saw one bad eyesight. He saw a woman. He saw a woman. He was crying on it. He went and he was crying in the middle of the night. He was waking himself and crying and doing tshuva and confessing. You want to be close to Hashem? Work. Put the effort. Yagata. If you put the effort, you have yagata, you're going to have matzata. You're going to find. Because Hashem really wants you to find. He wants you to have. He wants you to succeed. And to think that Hashem doesn't want to give you, it's kfirah. You have bad thoughts against Hashem. You think that Hashem is cruel. You think that Hashem is mean. That Hashem doesn't want to give from the good that He's got. You deny the fact that Hashem is tovu metiv, good and doing only good. You deny it. You're arguing with Hashem. Instead of accepting Hashem. Hashem, today you stopped me. It doesn't mean nothing about the future. It means I need to learn from that rebuke. It means that I need to be more humble. It means that I need to do more tshuva. I need to beg some more. You haven't received, you haven't found yet. You haven't put enough effort yet. But if you're going to work on that will, to put more effort, no matter how much it's going to be, for life, you're going to have it. Thank you.